This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In less than a month, Democrats will take the majority in the House for the first time since 2011. That means a divided Congress for the first time in the Trump administration and in a very politically polarized environment. So we're going to talk to two Democrats who won't be part of the new House majority. And you can join the conversation. What would you ask two departing lawmakers about what Washington has become? And what do you want from the new Congress when it convenes in January? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter or comment on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us from Chicago, Illinois, is Democratic Congressman Luis Gutierrez. He represented Illinois' 4th congressional district since 1993, which includes portions of Chicago and its western suburbs. He announced last year he would retire from Congress and not run for re-election in 2018. Congressman Gutierrez, welcome to On Point.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Also with us from Dover, New Hampshire, is Democratic Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter. She represented New Hampshire's 1st congressional district off and on since 2007. It's definitely a swing district, losing and winning back her seat twice in that span. The district includes Manchester, Portsmouth, and much of the eastern half of New Hampshire. Congresswoman Shea Porter, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's great to have both of you. I, first of all, actually want to play a couple of bits of tape from the other half of Congress, from the Senate, just to sort of give us a sense as to what some outgoing senators are saying. And I want to get your reflections on that. So first of all, here is Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona during his farewell speech to the Senate on Thursday.
Let us recognize from this place here today that the shadow of tyranny is once again enveloping parts of the globe. And let us recognize, as authoritarianism reasserts itself in country after country, that we are by no means immune.
That's Republican Senator Jeff Flake on his farewell speech on Thursday. During her farewell address on that same day, Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill said that she thinks the U.S. Senate is no longer the world's greatest deliberative body.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was worried about this place. It just doesn't work as well as it used to. The Senate has been so enjoyable for me, but I must admit it puts the fun in dysfunction. Peter Morgan, an author, said, "No family is complete without an embarrassing uncle." We have too many embarrassing uncles in the United States Senate.
That's Senator Claire McCaskill on Thursday. Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter, let me turn to you first. I suppose I was just taken by the frankness which with these outgoing senators were speaking. Do you have the same set of concerns about, like, say, those embarrassing uncles in your chamber in the House?
Absolutely. And I think their voices have grown stronger and louder in this last session. But we certainly have seen this since the 2010 election, where we had some of the impact of the Tea Party with the representatives there that were really, you know, pretty far out. And I don't need to repeat all of the speeches on the floor, but many of them got coverage and deserved that coverage. So I am concerned about the fact that we're not running very well, that we don't look good. We look crazy at times, and I understand why people think that. But I also want to reassure your listeners that there's a lot of really good, solid people who are paying close attention. They're in Congress, and they are concerned about the growth of the authoritarianism, and they are concerned about the tone, and they are concerned about the fact that we're not getting the work done. And so I remain optimistic.
You remain optimistic. So do you have the same tenor or kind of optimism that you had when you first became a member of Congress?
Well, let me say it was never easy because you mentioned the swing district. This district is 35% Republican, 25% Democrat, 40% Independent. And so, you know, it always was a tough political battlefield for me. I'm a progressive Democrat. I grew up in a conservative Republican family. I respect and I like conservative Republicans. So, you know, I thought I'd be able to work well with them. And some of them I have been able to work very well with, especially on the House Armed Services Committee. I've had the privilege of being on that committee for 8 years, and we stay very focused on what's important for the nation and what's important for the world. So, you know, when I came in, I expected it to be rough. It was rough for me politically, and it has been rough in Congress. But I do think that again, we have to look at the people that aren't grabbing the microphones and saying those awful things and realize that there's a body of people there who are trying. They just need more members, or shall I say fewer members, that think that they should just be soloists and they don't really care what anybody else thinks. They are playing, you know, strictly to the people at home, to their base.
Okay. Well, Representative Gutierrez, let me turn to you, because you have been serving your district since 1993. And, you know, as you well, you and both Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter know, I think Congress has the lowest approval ratings in America of any branch of government. I mean, how has Washington changed? How have you seen it change since you first took office in 93?
Well, look, it's more partisan today than it's ever been before. It's hard to work across the aisle. Bipartisanship is something that is much applauded, either in editorial comments or by the punditry class in America, but it's seldom rewarded. Having said that, I'm very optimistic about the future of America and the work of my colleagues in the Congress, in the Senate, and in the House. 7 million more people turned out to vote for Democrats this last election. And I think they turned out because I believe they turned out because they're really sick and tired of the kind of authoritarian stances that the president of the United States has taken. I think we see a coming together of Americans, of broad-based Americans. They see a president that attacks Muslims, and they came out to vote. They see a president that attacks transgender community, and they came out to vote. They see a president who attacks people trying to seek refuge in the United States and asylum in the United States, and they see one that calls Mexicans murderers, and they came out to vote. So guess what? Democracy is working, and I am committed to continuing that work. I have walked up and down the streets of the 4th Congressional District during the last 3 months with my daughter, who's running for the city council, and let me tell you, I have met hundreds of new citizens of the United States. There's a million locked up, obviously, by the Trump administration that have petitions for citizenship, because they want to vote.
Right.
We see people wanting to get organized all over. And lastly, it wasn't a fluke. The Women's March was not a one-time proposition. Women are running, they're winning, and they're changing the landscape of American political system.
Yeah. Well, so Congressman Shea Porter, let me turn back to you here, because just to be frank, I mean, I suppose I'm slightly surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be, that both you and Representative Gutierrez are expressing a degree of optimism, because broadly speaking, I'm not sure the American people feel that way, because, you know, incoming congressmen and women constantly, in cycle after cycle, you know, they campaign on hope, they campaign on change, they campaign on bringing fresh new ideas, and you know, they may be sincere about that as they're campaigning, but then they get into Congress and they're bogged down by having to constantly fundraise, they're bogged down by the lobbying structures in Washington, they're bogged down by, or the American people see nothing but deepening partisanship and not real change here. So is your optimism out of step with the reality of what the American people see in the House of Representatives?
Well, I will tell you that I was and remain a grassroots activist, and so I feel still very close to the population. I ran all of my races without taking any corporate PAC money or DC lobbyist money, so I have stayed very close to people, and I know that they were in despair in January of 17. And, you know, we were all deeply concerned, and I remain concerned about the impact that the president has had and the growth of hatred, et cetera, that we witnessed. But I agree with my colleague there that it's the American people that are going to save us. And I think they've already taken giant steps from the very beginning, from that Women's March and from these groups that grew locally and then came together in Washington and other places in states around the country. And really are working to reshape this. So I'm very concerned about the money. I mentioned the money is disgusting. I'm concerned about the impact the NRA has. We still haven't done anything on gun safety, which breaks my heart. And we still have a lot of problems with our environment that we've done very little on, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know the list as well as I do. Mm-hmm. But the American people are knocking at the doors of Congress, and they're saying, open up. We want transparency. We want this to be cleaned up. We want to see people that hear us and know us and are willing to be passionate about issues. And if I had to say anything to any new member, I would say this to them. I would say, keep your passion. Remember why you're there. The greatest compliment I've been paid after my 8 years, and I have been involved in this since 2006, my first election, was that I'm the same person that I was when I arrived. And I would urge all new people to stay that and remember why you're there and who you're serving, and that work is what you do, not who you are. So if these new members who have so many great ideas and have inspiration can stay away from the corporate business and stay away from all the things that break down, you know, process, they can do well.
Mm. I'm
the American people ready for American people are paying attention, and that was what was missing for so long that I don't think enough people tuned in because they thought things were working okay, and you know that, and then they started to notice that it really wasn't.
Yeah, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Representative Gutierrez, I just have a simple question for you. I mean, honestly speaking, how much time did you have to spend per week or per month fundraising? Because, I mean, you know, essentially with a 2-year term, congressmen and women essentially feel like they have to be campaigning all the time.
Look, I didn't. I did my campaigning during the 24 months in between elections. So what we did in the 4th Congressional District is we helped 60,000 people become American citizens. Let me just repeat that. Yes, in 26 years, we helped 60,000 people fill out application forms, learn English, the Constitution, and got them through the process of becoming American citizens. Too much time and focus is spent on just the legislative process. It is the process of making government work that is independent of the halls of Congress that I've committed and dedicated myself to. And traveling around the country, people in my congressional district allowed me to do that because they understood the importance of the civil rights, human rights movement that we have in terms of a broken immigration system.
Yeah.
So we've been able to change that. I just want to say something.
Can I just jump in here for a second, Congressman? I don't mean to cut you off, Congressman, but I just want to clarify something because I'm not sure I heard you correctly, and I want to be sure I did. When I asked about how much time you had to spend on average fundraising, did you say that you didn't at all?
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot. I was fortunate. I always and I'm trying to answer your question. I always saw as fundamental to my work and what I do is just working, right? And so I didn't have to do a lot of work. I'm also very fortunate because while some of my colleagues would sometimes give those sneering, mocking eyes at me when they saw me with Univision or Telemundo, and they looked at them as the ethnic, what they needed to realize was I was actually talking to millions of people. And I was talking to 1/4 of the registered voters on a continuing basis. So I have been communicating. And if you communicate and do your work, especially in a congressional district like mine, then you get reelected. But let me just say this, because I want to echo the comment. Here's what I learned in 26 years in Congress. Nothing happens without a demand from the people. We spend too much time on the back rooms and the corridors of Washington, D.C., and what happens there. And what's happening in America today, that on the streets and the neighborhoods and the villages and the counties across this country, people are organizing, and they're going to make sure that our democracy is preserved.
But Congressman Gutierrez, I have to say, I have to jump in here for a second. Congressman, if I may, please. Please. Forgive me for interrupting, but I have to jump in here for a second because I also want to let Congresswoman Shea Porter back in. But when you say people spend too much time focusing on what goes on in the back rooms and back deals in the halls of Congress, but that is where the decisions are made. That's where the deals are made. That's where the how the laws get passed. Shouldn't we actually, That is where the work gets done on behalf of the American people who put you in office.
I understand that. But I part from the following premise, that nothing happens in Congress without a consistent and persistent demand from people, the American people. And as long as that consistent and persistent demand is there, guess what? You bring a lot of transparency and clarity, and people come out of those back rooms and corridors and do the job of the American people.
Congresswoman Shea Porter, let me let you back in here. What do you think?
Well, you know, there's a saying in Washington that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And so for a long time, I would say to all these grassroots activists and the groups that were coming to urge more spending for health care or more spending for, you know, various environmental issues, et cetera, that you really needed to come to the Capitol and come to the seat of power and be seen and be heard. Because we have groups that come in every 3 months. And, you know, they have a right. Everybody has a right to come to Congress and meet with their member. But you have some groups, and there are business groups that show up every 3 months, and then you have other groups that never showed up. And so what we have seen, and this is, I think, what my colleague and I are saying, what we have seen is this ignition of energy and concern and that passion. And people are paying attention, and that is what's giving both of us hope that the American people are shining a light on the process, which is the way it's supposed to be. Now I hope that they pay very close attention to that money that we're all talking about, that dark money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of legislation that never got through that needs to be passed so that we know who's trying to pull the levers. And so for the American people really to be seen and really to be heard and have the same influence, we've got to cut the flow of the dark money.
Well, Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter and Congressman Luis Gutierrez, they're both outgoing Democrats from New Hampshire and Illinois, respectively. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.